Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful Sunday, May 21st, 2017. Goes by so quickly. We're going to talk about God today because I always get questions about this subject one way or another and my treatment of it. I want to remind you that if you are enjoying these radio programs as well as our TV programs on my website at aspire.org, I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor. A sponsor is someone who sustains these programs with either their monthly or their quarterly gift, and your donations, being tax deductible, go out into the world and serve people, helping me pay airtime, which is very, very expensive. And that is the only way we're able to maintain our radio program and our TV program. And they offer so much to so many, as you might imagine. If you haven't seen a program, you can go to the website at aspire.org and you will see media. And you can just click on that and watch some TV programs if you like. We have one. Oh, six Emmy, seven Telly, something like that. We work very, very hard. When you become a sponsor of Aspire, you get some wonderful gifts each and every month, and in fact, every day. You can go to the website and you can download the message of the month, or I'd be happy to send it to you, whatever works for you. And you have access my podcast, my video cast, my commentaries each and every month. There are two that are offered each and every month. And on top of all of that, you have 122 discourses from shows we've done in the past. When I used to make TV programs, I would make a four-disc set for you. In the old days, it was cassettes. And now you can have every one of those, they're all there for you to listen to enjoy, and hopefully to help you wake up. So if you're interested, come to the website at aspire.org. You will go to a page there that says support. And if you click on that, a menu will come up and it will say, why support Aspire? And it's a good question. So you take a look at that page. It'll tell you where your donations go. And what they pay for and all the wonderful things that, well, you do with your donation, as well as my work at hospice. You have no idea the kind of goodness you do. And then you can sign up there if you like. I hope you do. God, we have had this discussion before, and it is a difficult one for a lot of people because God is a difficult subject. But I get some interesting emails about it from time to time. I really do. In fact, I have to admit, a lot of the times. So I jotted down a few of them here, put them on my screen, and here they are. And I thought maybe this would be of help to you. First question comes from Joy, and she does not tell me where she lives or he lives. Could be a boy's name too. Yeah. If there is a God, Greg, what does he do all day? It seems that there is nothing but chaos and havoc here on earth. What is his plan, Joy? Joy, this is an assumption that people have made, that there's some kind of plan for the universe here or for our world, and we can't know it. And that's what religion would love to have you believe. And it's an easy one to believe when you start looking at the craziness that's in this world, huh? I mean, it's just easy to believe. But that's not the case. There is no man in the sky with a long beard and white and, you know, running the whole show. And just, I know you want to think of him as a jolly old Santa Claus guy that has a plan for you. But if you take a look at it and you see all the stuff that is going on in the world, the difficulties, the pain, the sorrow, the whole trip. If you see all of that for whatever it is, and you think that there's some kind of brain behind it that is making all this happen, calculating all of this, well, you are what P.T. Barnum was talking about, where, you know, there's a sucker born every minute. I don't think P.T. Barnum really said that. I think somebody else did, and he gets the credit for it. But less than none, and nonetheless, here we are. Joy, it isn't about God. God is more, what do I want to say, a direct experience. You have to have your own. And until you and I have our own direct experience of that presence, that being called God, we'll never really be able to put it into words. My own experience is impersonal. It is, I don't know how to explain it. It is inexplicable. There's no doubt about it. I have struggled for years to try to tell students about it. If I tell you what I've experienced and continue to experience within me, it's a kind of a hum, a presence, something that dwells in a vibration inside. It has the powers of a great compassion and love. It is not personal, anything but personal. In other words, that, you know, God is not some creature, man, whatever, looking at old Greg Penn and saying, well, you've done this and you've done that and you deserve to have this and you don't deserve to have that. It's not that at all. We're in a continuum. We're beyond space and time. Everything is about a beautiful kind of glowing movement of love. And this love is not the love that we think of as personal love, as emotional love. This love is something far deeper, more profound than all of that. And yet here we are trying to make it look like it's something personal when it's not. And we make up stories and put a face on him and everything. But my experience is it's mathematics. It's music, mathematics, and light. And it is not to be manipulated. It cannot be manipulated. You enter into this thing called what we call God as love. And if you enter into it, there is no going back. You can't go back to the way you were. There's just no way that would ever work. So you're in this presence and you are moving in this presence and loving in this presence. And a great wisdom starts to occur within you, and you begin to feel the nature of love, the real nature of love. And that's what it is. It's not this idea of an old man having a plan. And let's go to the plan here, you know. When things happen, deaths or unfortunate situations occur, and we're looking for an answer as to why, which is natural. Anybody would ask why. We're looking at it from the wrong point of view. Okay? You have to remember something, Joy, and this is a very difficult thing for people to kind of, you know, click into. But this world is not everything. And living in this world is not everything. When something is taken away from us physically, someone we love, someone we care about very deeply, it isn't God's plan that that happens. It isn't like, well, I've decided to take little Bonnie away from you here and make you miserable, and I have a plan. It's not that at all. Accidents happen, deaths happen. What is the reason for it? If I tell you, you'll take it personally and you'll get very angry, because ignorance is a wonderful thing to perpetuate anger. It's my karma. It's their karma. It is the setup we have made for things to happen. We enact all of this through our karma. We're not being punished and we're not being rewarded. It isn't dualistic. Things are happening the way they are intended to happen by the hand of ourselves, what we have done within ourselves. And there are so many things to understand about all of that that meditation brings to you. So I can't sit here and give you all the nitty-gritty details. You'd be bored, you wouldn't believe it, and it isn't for the pedestrian mentality. And, you know, I don't know what kind of mentality you have, but, you know, it's just not for the pedestrian mentality. So you and I have these terrible things that occur and these good things and wonderful things that occur, and we think God did it, and it has nothing to do with any of those things. It has to do with, believe it or not, love. And because we have alienated ourselves to our emotions, we have lost the ability and the basic intelligence to see things for the way they are because we refuse to drop our emotionality. And that's the big one right there, my emotionality. Troy, I hope I didn't muddy the waters even further. I hope I didn't. I hope that helps a little bit. There is no guy standing in the clouds looking down going boo-hoo or yay, yay. There's no cheerleader. There's none of that. It just is what it is, what it is, what it is. And we make it so. And that's it. Until we awaken, you have to awaken to see the bigger picture. Remember what Jesus said. Never forget this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Just remember that. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many. Joy, please forgive me. Namaste. Okay, the next one comes from Samuel, and he is from Colorado. Why would God kill his only begotten son, Greg? I just don't get it. What kind of God does that? Samuel. Well, I agree with you. You ask me like, you know, I'm the authority figure on this. I don't buy those words that God, you know, killed his only begotten son and all of that stuff. And what do you mean? You're not his only begotten son? What are you and I? Just a relic? He supposedly, you know, according to the Bible, made us. So, you know, does that make him our father or whatever? Or are we getting this because Jesus in his Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name kind of thing. So much stuff out of the Bible, misunderstood, misdirected, not correct. Religion is a business, and you got to understand, keeping people in a religion is like herding cats. It's really difficult because they stray away, and they don't have a great memory, and their attention span is very, very short, and you got all this stuff going on. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult. So I don't know really what to say to you other than, gee whiz, I don't buy that at all. I don't buy the religious God. If you look at the way religion has done this whole thing of God, you can see there is a plan, some kind of really screwed up way of looking at things to hook a person through guilt and shame and all that other stuff. Drama. Had to be an alcoholic that came up with all sorts of religion. I mean, you have to be. I mean, you got to be drinking that sacred wine too much to be able to make this all happen. But I don't get it. I don't buy it. I don't believe in it. I don't look at it. I don't give it any consideration. Why would God kill his only begotten son? Well, it's a good question. And if that's the way he is, well, screw him, you know? If you do that to save other, why would you do that? There's no, even in this earthly realm, there's no logical sense to that. There's absolutely none. I'm going to kill my begotten son for your miserable souls that I made. by the way, I made them, and you've turned into nothing but trash since the moment I created you. So what? You really would buy? I wouldn't buy. I never have bought that. I have never bought that. And when I went to seminary, they never talked about it either. I can't remember anything about it. I remember asking a question years and years and years ago about it. And some, this guy, Bible teacher, he wasn't very good. You know, it was some half-assed answer that I was supposed to buy. And I didn't. And that was the end of that. He got mad at me. And I didn't mean to make him mad at me. I was just, you know, I'm 20 years old. I don't get what you're talking about here. This is silly. Why would God? It's a very good question, Samuel. Don't buy it. God is love. Buddha never talked about God as a man, as a father figure, as did Jesus. And you have to understand, Jesus talked about God in the language and in the mentality of an Easterner, of a person who grew up in that time and that place. Never, 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 never take it personally. Never look at it and think he meant it literally. He was talking to people who were ancient, who had a much smaller vocabulary than we have. So therefore, there was no way for him to elaborate on the truth of anything. He had to paint pictures. And that's what he was doing when he made this. He was painting a picture. He was not stating a fact or a truth. When he said, God is love, that was it. When he was saying, our Father did this and our Father does that, he isn't talking about the idea of a physical man in the clouds. Nicodemus had a heck of a time. He's, you know, Jesus was trying to teach him, how does a man enter his mother's womb a second time? You know, he was very, very confused about it all. Jesus said that a man had to be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how do you get back in the womb again? What did that mean? Was he talking about physical, or was he talking about, well, how do you get reincarnate back into your mother's womb again? And Jesus shaking his head, and, you know, it's, you can't take it literally. You have to understand the nature of the people in those days. Lhasa in the Tao Te Ching does not even remotely come near this idea of talking about God. You have to give people a God, and I'll tell you why. It's how you give them hope, and hope controls people. If you have a lot of hope, then you can control them. If you have no hope, you can't control them. So there you are. You miss the whole thing because of hope. You want to think that there's someone in charge here. You look at the craziness of this world and what's going on and how insane it's become. War, we instead of using our intelligence to create peace, we create war. You give people their supposed freedom. You turn around and look at it and they turn it into something ugly and vengeful and prideful. They just go on and on and on with it. And there you are. It gets uglier and uglier and uglier as time goes on. What can I say? Really, what can I say? Why would God kill his only begotten son? It's a very good question. And if God is love, why would he do that? And would you kill your only begotten son? Yadda yadda. No, you wouldn't. And neither did God. And you got to get over yourself here. Nothing is literal with the Bible. And if you take it literally, you're going to miss it. That's why I don't mess with it. I like the Dead Sea Scrolls. I like the Gnostic Gospels. I think if you're going to get into something, Samuel, and get into it deeply, take a look at the Gnostic Gospels. They are much clearer, give you a much clearer perception of what a spiritual master such as Jesus is all about. You will appreciate his teachings far more there than if you're sitting there thinking to yourself that God strung Jesus up. Rome strung him up. The Jews strung him up. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they strung him up. For the sake of what? Politics. Does that resemble anything in our world today? Politics. We can't handle rebels. We can't handle people who are teaching outside the social political box. So we kill them. And that's just what we did with Jack and Bobby and Martin and Malcolm and anyone else who gets in our way. It's an ancient story with ancient means. If they get in the way of the powers that be, they are dead. That's just it. So Samuel, I hope that answers your question. I didn't get into it real deep because I don't have time, but try to take a look at it, and maybe it will help you. Go to the Gnostic Gospels. If you do really hunger and thirst for the truth, go to the Gnostic Gospels. They will teach you a great deal. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Frances, and she does not tell me where she lives. How can I love a God I don't know? Frances, Greg and Frances and Harry and Sally, they cannot love. They don't love. The human is only interested in survival. Hence, all of our emotions are based in the survival techniques that we can come up with to live our life. This is an emotional thing. Emotions are not love. I love anyone who makes if I'm in my humanness, my human side, my Greg side, loves anyone who helps me, who appreciates me, who adorns me, who affectionizes me. It's what it's all about, getting adoration. And with all of that adoration and stuff, I love that person. And if I love that person, I give the love back to that person. And that's as far as it goes. It isn't real love. It's just, oh, I'm so grateful you helped me survive. You helped me with my idea of myself, my belief about myself. You have fortified that belief of myself. And so we live in that. We don't live in love. We live in that whole thing I just explained to you. We live in an appreciation of other people liking us. So if that is the case, which it is, there's no love there. We call that love because it makes us feel secure. And that security comes with the idea that, oh, I can't be all wrong. I'm not all bad. And that's what people want to hear. That's my hubris speaking. But the real love, the authentic love, you are that love. You don't have to love God. You are that love that is God, as it were. And you can't know God, as you state in your email here, through the ego, through the pride, through the vanity, through the humanness. You can't do that because that's not where real love is, where the connection is, where the transcendence is. We don't transcend because we don't believe in anything higher, as far as love is concerned, than our emotions. And because we live in that kind of distilled stupidity, as I call it, we sustain a misunderstanding about our life that is hypercritical to our well-being. And we just never mature out of that. So you have to know you are the love that is the creation, that is a part of the evolutionary pattern of creation, the creation of kindness, of generosity, the creation that could make all of our problems disappear. But we don't do that because we're into fixed ideas about what love is and what helps people and what's important and all of that. And hence we make a mess out of our life. And that's, we're content with that mess and our little ideas about God and love and all of that. And so we never mature and we never have an experience that transcends. We never have metamorphosis. I'm out of here. Thank you so much, Francis, for your beautiful question. I'm out of here. I want to thank you for listening, for this beautiful weekend you've given me to be with you. And I hope you have just a lovely week ahead of you. I want you to listen to a few of the things I have to say. There are plenty of radio programs on my website if you're interested. I want you to know how grateful I am you listen, how humbled I am. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.